According to research from the Star Internet and ATN Network, 1 in 6 people are victims of identity theft, and the newest scam is phishing, spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Be on guard. Visit phishinginfo.org to learn more. A message from the National Consumers League.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Exiting low pressure takes the clouds with it. It's a slow clearing, though, as we look at the overnight hours. At 46 by tomorrow morning becomes Thursday around 70 degrees, so there's an improvement along with copious amounts of sunshine. Looks like an isolated shower tomorrow night and Friday. And for Saturday, lingering showers hang around with a high of 69. Sun's back on Sunday, though.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, as it always is, when your nightly edition of Head On rolls around. I'm Bob Kincaid. And it is, of course, the prayer meeting edition Wednesday night of Head On here in your here in Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. We'll get the information out of the way quickly. The phone numbers are 252-6200. That's locally. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR 9967. Now we pay the freight if you're outside the local dialing area, and we're doggone happy to do it. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And through that website, you can go to my own website, HeadOnRadio.com, wherein we have a veritable free-for-all of fora via the message boards in which you can participate free of charge. Just have at it and have a blast. So I got this, I don't know if you call it a joke or call it whatever you choose. I got it from our friend David in South Carolina, one of the Davids. A woman in a hot air balloon realized she was lost. She lowered her altitude and spotted a man in a boat below. She shouted to him, "Excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him an hour ago, but I don't know where I am." The man consulted his portable GPS and replied, You're 30 feet above sea level, you're at 31 degrees, 14.97 minutes north latitude, and 100 degrees, 49.09 minutes west longitude. She rolled her eyes and said, "You must be a Democrat." The guy says, "I am. How'd you know?" She says, "Well, everything you told me is technically correct, but I have no idea what to do with your information, and I'm still lost. Frankly, you've not been much help to me." The guy smiled back at her and said, "You must be a Republican." "I am," replied the balloonist. "How did you know?" "Well," the guy says, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You've risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise that you have no idea how to keep. Then you expect me to solve your problem. You're in exactly the same position you were in before we met, but somehow now it's my fault." Well, I like that. I like that a lot. Now, a couple of nights ago when the compromise in the Senate was announced, I said it smacked of appeasement to me. And I'm not so sure that I might not still be correct. Nonetheless, even if it was appeasement, it turns out to be a big old honking mistake. I think it was worth it. Because in the last 2 days, we have begun to watch the weird, bizarre, twisted, morally dead, ethically bankrupt, right-wing religion industry come apart at the seams. I mean, the wheels are falling off as they go down the road. And it is a beautiful thing to behold. Let's see. From the Agape Press. I know, Agape. Nah, it's Agape because they're Agape right now.
Ah! I can't believe they did that!
Oh, family leaders are expressing outrage over... See? The pro-family leaders. No, they're not. Pro-family leaders worry about health care. Pro-family leaders worry about good jobs with decent benefits. Pro-family leaders worry about pensions being taken away by bankruptcy judges. Religion industry leaders are expressing outrage over a compromise deal in the Senate that will allow a vote on some of the president's heretofore filibustered judicial nominees but preserves the tactic for liberal Democrats to use against nominees they deem too conservative. See, this was written by the Agape Press. They deem too conservative. No, if Fred Jackson, Jody Brown, and Bill Fancher, if that triumvirate of right-wing religion industry freaks had bothered to, as I did, read the agreement that was signed in the Senate, they would find the Democrats promised only to filibuster in cases of extraordinary circumstances, not in cases of too conservative. Now, help me, doctor. Sorry, I can't. I'm not that kind of doctor. Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. Dr. James Dobson, who advocates, that's right, beat your children until they cry real tears. I'm not making it up. It's in his damn book. And it is a damned book. Okay? It's just hell-bent. It's ugly. It's nasty. Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family is blasting the Senate deal, calling it a complete betrayal. Yeah. This Senate agreement represents a betrayal by a cabal of Republicans and a great victory for United Democrats. The rules that blocked conservative nominees remain in effect, and nothing of significance has changed. The unconstitutional filibuster survives in the arsenal of Senate liberals. Liberals. I just flashed on James Dobson as Gollum. Not Smeagol, Gollum. The guy can't go a sentence without telling a great big honking lie. The unconstitutional filibuster. Huh. I'll be darned. Now James Dobson, do you hear that they've been complaining? These freaks go all the way back to Marbury versus Madison, and they think that Justice Marshall was wrong for saying that the Supreme Court would be the final arbiter of what is and is not constitutional. That's judicial activism. It's not for the court to say what is constitutional. They believe that. I mean, that's how weird these people are. 200-plus years of stare decisis. And suddenly some right-wing religion industry freak comes along and says, nope, it's wrong. 200 years of legal tradition. Nope, it's wrong. Don't need those activist judges, they don't need to be declaring what's constitutional and what's unconstitutional. That's for us, and God will tell us, and we will tell you. They really believe that. But Dobson is all in a dudgeon. He's ready to take Bill Frist out and flay the skin off of him. Gary Bauer of American Values. Oh, what's an American value to Gary Bauer? That's right, putting chains on a woman's womb. Says the Senate compromise makes it more likely that radical social change will continue to be forced on the American people by liberal courts committed to such things as same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, and hostility to religious expression. Don't you love that? Now, that's another one of those little code words that the right-wing religion industry freaks like to use. Abortion on demand. Abortion on demand. And that, it's such a silly little phrase, but it's also good for a giggle. You know, some pasty-faced, doughy white guy, some fat dude can walk into the abortion clinic. I want an abortion on demand and a side of fries. But, sir, you don't have a... Ah! It's law of the land, abortion on demand. Ooh, that right. Abortion on demand. I demand me an abortion. But you're a man. You don't have a... Never mind the details. Give me my abortion on demand. Oh, what a bunch of monkeys. Bauer went on to say, I think it's very sad and very, very disappointing. The number one principle here is that every judicial nominee deserves an up or down vote. No, they don't. You constitutionally ignorant moron. There's nothing about up or down votes in the Constitution. Not a blessed thing. And because of these senators who got all weak in the knees, that principle for now has been lost. Do you understand what these freaks wanted? These freaks wanted to see the Senate ground into dust. They wanted to see 200 years of tradition just cast by the wayside to let the Senate be turned into a majoritarian nightmare where there would be no cooler heads and there would be no compromises. Can you imagine if Gary Bauer and James Dobson had been around, oh, for the Missouri Compromise? We don't want any compromise. We want the Civil War now. We're only postponing the inevitable. What was that, 1846? These people, they were yearning for the final solution, the Republican final solution in the Senate as some sort of, I don't know, the metaphor or extended get-by for the bloodshed that they yearn for in America's streets. You see, these people will not be happy, and they'll tell you if you'll ask them, they'll tell you that they want to be the ones who determine what you get to read, what you get to see, how you get to think, what you believe, which church you attend, what your child learns in school. No more biology for you, Johnny. The earth was formed in 6 days. And on the sixth day, God created the Remington 30-06 so that Adam could hunt the dinosaurs and homosexuals. I parody, but these Christian Reconstructionists, this Christian identity movement, these dominionists absolutely demand utter, total, theocratic, dictatorial control of the United States. And you have good reason to fear them like no other threat that has ever faced this nation. What did Khrushchev say? This nation will fall from the inside out. Isn't that what he said? And these right-wing religion industry monsters are hard at it. Let's take a quick break, come back, take some phone calls. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So that means it's time for that's Toyota's spring sales event. And as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and buy with zero down. And make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. rush to L&S Toyota. 300 World Maker Drive in Bexley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales are in, so do the savings. Sign and drive with SIPO now. And no payments till fall. Our select models with a new credit. Check with the new purchase and the old life. For all the payoffs, we from up to 6.9% of your finance. Offer ends 5/30/05.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Cash. To millions of people, Johnny Cash was a music legend. To me, he was just Dad. When he died, a lot of people thought a lifetime of hard living finally caught up with him. And it's true, Dad had his demons, but he also had diabetes. For years, he ignored it, even as his health and vision slipped away. Until one day, as he sat in his office, surrounded by books he could no longer read, he said to me, "This is a room full of regrets now." Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, and worst of all, take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better, too. For a free new guide on managing your blood sugar daily, visit healthywithdiabetes.org. A message from the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Let's do go to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Hey, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. Good evening.
Yeah, one or the other.
One or the other. It's been a long day, so I'm hoping it's morning. You know, I was listening to you that a minute ago about the confirmation of the judges. You know, I would hope there would be a confirmation type deal. To be able to get carte blanche, I mean, who knows what you could ram through the Senate. I mean, a guy could be a mobster. Who knows?
Exactly. I mean, look what, I mean, we got Priscilla Owen today, and she's no plum.
Well, I don't know. You know, I really don't know enough about the background of any of them to say that they're one bad or not. No, well, but from what I understand, when there are like 200 and some judges that have been approved and hadn't been, but just a handful that
200
any an objection to.
Yeah,
you know?
210 of Bush's appointees have been approved and leaving 8 unapproved.
Well, you know, listen to everybody, you would think there was only 8 approved and 210 that's waiting approval.
Well, that's the intent, Jim. That's what they want. That's what they want us to think. And, you know, I've got another quote from this Gary Bauer guy here, and he says, all President Bush's judicial nominees deserve an up or down vote, but it just proves what a bunch of rotten hypocrites they are, because you see, 20% of Bill Clinton's nominees never even got a vote in committee. They just got bottled up. They were just put an end to. So there's nothing but just raving lunatic hypocrisy on this issue.
Why is it unfair now?
Well, because it's their ox getting gored. You see, Democrats are held to a different standard than Republicans. The standard is much higher for Democrats. Republicans can do anything to a Democrat that they want to. However, if a Democrat grows a spine and stands up to one of these bullies, well, that's obstructionism, and it's unconstitutional, and it's worthy of destroying the traditions of the Senate over.
Well, you know, well, if that's the case, then why don't they put a veto to where you just a simple majority take care of a veto?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice with this stem cell bill?
I mean, if you're going to change the rules for one thing, why not change the rules for the whole thing?
I tend to agree, but the thing is, it's the selective hypocrisy of the weird right, Jim. They only do this if they think it is to their benefit. So naturally, you're not going to see anything that benefits a Democrat. And I still believe, based on what I heard the day after the agreement was announced, the Republicans still say that, you know, they will tell Democrats when they may filibuster and what constitutes an extraordinary circumstance. Isn't it beautiful?
Well, you know, let me think who it was that's telling me, you have to, I don't know whether it's the state or the federal government, but you have to get their permission to sue them or something like that.
Absolutely.
And is that correct?
As far as I know, yeah, the Federal Tort Claims Act, and it may apply in West Virginia as well.
Yeah, and I thought that was true. but you have to get their permission to sue them.
Yes.
I think that was just plain stupid. But another thing, I mean, this is really about here, they're there. I don't understand how somebody can be found innocent of a crime, but yet go through the civil courts and be found guilty and pay somebody.
Well, that's largely an issue of the standard of proof. You know, to be charged with a crime, you have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. In other words, not beyond any doubt, but beyond a reasonable doubt. No reasonable.
That sounds like double jeopardy to me.
Well, right, but then
you're getting tried two times in two different courts for the same problem.
Well, but it's not, because the civil trial has different elements than the criminal trial does, not the least of which is the fact that the criminal trial can take away your liberty where the civil trial can't. And in a civil trial, you're only needed, it's like O.J.
That's what I was talking about.
See, he had to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and they screwed up that criminal trial so badly that was never going to happen. But on the other hand, in the civil trial, all he had to be proven was more likely than not.
To be honest with you, I don't think he actually done the crime. I think he may have paid for it or had somebody do it, but I don't believe he done it. Because there's so many things that was...
Well, the prosecutor's office out there, Jim, botched that so badly that we will never, ever know.
Oh, no, you'll never know, but there's a lot of things in my mind that didn't make sense. The blood that they talk about on the socks?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it in the shoes?
Good question. Good question indeed.
They talked about there was somebody wrestling or in the mulch around where these bodies were, that they didn't have shoes on. They had socks. No shoes on, to make track.
Yeah, maybe
they were. Well, when was the last time you've been out in mulch that you didn't have mulch in your socks?
Well, yeah, and you're running around the mulch going, ow, ow, oh, ow.
Yeah,
ow.
I mean, you got to look at this a little bit. Now this was brought up, but...
But that is a good parallel, though, Jim. The different standards that apply in a civil versus a criminal trial are very similar to the different standards that apply to a Democrat and a Republican in the Congress.
Right.
It's a much, much higher standard for a Democrat to meet, say, extraordinary circumstances, because Priscilla Owen, if she is not an extreme judge, it's going to be hard to find one who is.
Well, and the other thing, you take a difference between black and white people. If they can call us, I'm a white male, they can call us anything they want and get away with it.
Well, they don't.
But if we say something, prejudice-wise, about their color, their skin, we get jumped on their throat, lawsuits, and everything else. Why ain't the page the same?
Well, Jim, I don't know that the scales will ever balance on that particular issue, because as white people, you and I have never known slavery,
right?
And we don't have that hateful legacy in our background. We don't have to look at just any dude going down the street. I wonder if one of his relatives owned one of my relatives. Can you imagine how awful that must feel?
That's true. And I live it like this. No, I don't personally. I've never owned a slave, or my family's never owned a slave. But yet I'm judged just because I'm white.
And that is, that's the curse of Cain that we bear. There's no getting around it. I, for one, subscribe to the Lenny Bruce theory, where we ought to use those hateful racial epithets so much that they lose all cachet and lose all meaning. I also ascribe to the theory that there's no such thing as a dirty word. It takes a dirty mind to make a dirty word. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you can twist any word and make it dirty.
Right.
Words that when I grew up, yay meant you was a happy person.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely.
That wasn't long ago.
But
I
had that word,
30 years out of school, but yeah, still.
That word and that word got appropriated because people who were homosexual got tired of all the other hateful epithets, so they took a perfectly good little word and used that instead.
Right.
And I got no problem. Hey, I've enjoyed the conversation, Jim, but I got to hit the break.
All right, thank you.
Take it easy. And more of your phone calls if you so desire when we come back. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620 WWNR 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News, the consumer advocate for the State Public Service Commission, says there is good news and bad news when it comes to natural gas rates. Billy Jack Gregg says natural gas rates will stay high this fall, but he says there is no anticipated sharp jump in prices over last year. The problem is that rates still have gone up by 50%, and gas bills are taking a much bigger bite from people's household budgets every month than they used to. Gregg says that 50% increases in natural gas rates have occurred in the last 2 years. New rates for this winter will be worked out in August and September. And Gregg says even without indications of a sharp increase, it pays to be prepared. The chief investigator for the Secretary of State's Election Fraud Unit has been fired just less than a month after he was hired. Secretary of State Betty Ireland fired John Canterbury last week. Ireland spokesman Ben Beeks declined to say why Canterbury was dismissed. Funeral services for a former West Virginia resident killed by snipers in Iraq will be held Saturday in Shreveport, Louisiana. Specialist Bernard Simley of Bossier City, Louisiana, was killed this past Thursday, a week ago, in Baghdad, along with Sergeant Robin Fell of Shreveport. The two were with the Army National Guard Shreveport-based 1st Battalion, 156th Armored Regiment, 256th Brigade Combat Team. Huntington police believe several people from Detroit are somehow involved in the weekend shooting deaths of four teenagers. The shootings occurred Sunday morning outside the apartment of 19-year-old Dante Ward, who investigators think may have been the target. They think the other victims, 18-year-old Edric Clark, 17-year-old Michael Dillon, and 16-year-old Megan Poston, may have been killed so they could not identify the shooter. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy and chilly with temperatures around 50. Tonight, partly cloudy. Chilly again with a low near 45. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy with temperatures in the low 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Rebecca Jameson.
The EPA held a hearing Tuesday in New York to develop a new cleanup protocol for the deconstruction of Deutsche Bank in Manhattan. Transportation Workers Union Local 100's Frank Goldsmith is very concerned about exposure of workers and the public to asbestos and other contaminants at that site. Goldsmith says the owners of Deutsche Bank documented extensive contamination at the site while trying to collect on an insurance claim, but later tried to deny that contaminants were such a big problem.
So they had the actual claim they put in, which showed all of the contamination that was there, and got maximum amount of money from their insurance company. But we turned around and used that same information to force EPA to make a good cleanup. They denied half the things were there.
The Transportation Workers Union effort to convince EPA to use a good cleanup protocol that protects workers and the public looks like it's paying off, but Goldsmith says it's not over.
The struggle continues to try to get EPA to do its job for people who live there and people who work that area. It's just a time bomb.
Goldsmith says the union is concerned that contaminants from the deconstruction will be blown into the subway system, affecting both workers and the commuting public, unless EPA prevents it.
Nurses in Petoskey, Michigan have been on strike since 2002, the longest nursing strike in U.S. history. Nurses at Northern Michigan Hospital will vote on recertification with the Teamsters on June 2nd. Mark Ward has worked at NMH for 23 years. Since he went on strike, he says the hospital has shipped in replacement workers and treatment has gone downhill.
We're getting stories that come out of massive infections, loss of limb, death. Stupid things that never would have happened if experienced nurses would be in there.
Patricia Phillips has worked at NMH for 30 years. She says the most hurtful thing about going on strike is being ignored by former coworkers.
It's worse than death. At least if somebody dies, you send them a sympathy card.
Ward and Phillips say that nursing troubles need to start being called what they are, a women's issue. Since nursing is a primarily female profession, people are far more likely to discount nurses' struggles and not pay attention. Ward says support for nurses in Petoskey isn't strong, and he's not sure the recertification vote will pass.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. The AFL-CIO says the global economy is defined by multinational corporations and trade agreements designed to serve them. It's not been good for the future of America's working families. countries. Trade agreements like NAFTA have cost hundreds of thousands of U.S. jobs, and the U.S. trade deficit has soared to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. Trade policies have also made income inequity worse to the point where the world's three richest people have assets exceeding the incomes of 600 million of the world's poorest people.
You've been listening to WIN for Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 8 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. Clouds clearing away, a little sunshine breaking through. Still kind of brisk and in the 50s, though. I'll take an order of spring, please. I'd like a little warm weather. I'd like the ground to dry out. I'd like to get my garden in before the 4th of July. I have this thing about fresh tomatoes. I'm sorry. I just do. It is Wednesday. It's another prayer meeting edition here at Head On. You know how it goes.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Amen to that. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On. Hey, Jim.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
If it doesn't fit, you're full of bit.
Exactly.
Hey, did you get my email?
Yeah, I did, but for some reason or another, these PDF attachments come and they've got a .2 extension on them, and frankly, I'm such a Luddite, I can't open them.
You're kidding.
No, the computers here won't open them.
Well, I sent it to your home.
You sent it to headonradio.com.
I sent it also to, I have two,
Bob Kincaid at Juno.com, that one too. But I access those anywhere, and I was on the road today, so I accessed them here, and I can't open them for the life of me.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, good Lord, I'll tell you. Well.
It throws up this thing that says, you know, in blah, 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 dot two, instead of dot PDF, and I'm screwed.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to just burn a copy and mail it to you, but when you see it, it'll blow your mind.
Okay, cool.
It will absolutely blow your mind.
Well, for the more computer savvy, if somebody can explain to me how to open this, I'll be just fine.
Well, yeah, they're real simple. You just, you know, anyway. That's okay, but it was sent with a purpose. I call it a Republican National Committee fundraiser. But if you see the nature of the meeting, you'll see what I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha.
And so basically, it's in San Francisco, and the theme of the meeting is basically take things into your own hands.
I did get the one about Tide, though, and that was cute.
Well, I thought maybe since you were having such a bummer of a day because of the weather, it might brighten it up for you. Personally, I love weather like this.
It's not so bad now. I don't know, that gray, low-lying stuff sort of just invades my spirit and gets me in an ugly funk.
Well, like I say, it just makes me want to put a brush right through the, you know, brush my hair straight back, put on my black cape, and wait for sunset.
Blah!
And speaking of which,
Nosferatu! Nosferatu!
Well, I mean, just, if you invite me in, you've had it. Put it that way. If we get the garlic and the crucifixes, I'm a new model. They don't work. You know, this Bauer and...
Aren't they funny?
And Ralph Reed and these people like that.
They're coming unglued.
I would love to have them up for dinner at Castle Dracula.
I was thinking of that final scene in the book about Hannibal Lecter.
Well.
You know, where he feeds them their own brains.
Yeah.
The only thing is they'd starve to death.
These people are just disgusting. And, you know, when I hear them and how anybody who has any degree of intelligence could be swayed by somebody like that, it's there's something lacking in the psyche of these people who would be so victimized. I mean, and if they could just see the underlying hatred in these people, like the ones we just mentioned, and that idiot Lush Limbaugh, or whatever his name is. I mean, you know, good Lord. I mean, it's and the reaction that the Republican right had, if that wasn't enough to prove to them what kind of people they are, I mean, these are like aliens. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, pod people.
I mean, or like those people. What was that series that was in the 80s? were these people where you looked at them and they were like reptilian underneath.
Yeah, was that X or something? Or
they, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, basically, or V.
V, yeah. I knew it was an alphabet. Yeah.
V. I mean, that's exactly what they're like to me. I mean, they are not human beings. I mean, it's almost as if a strange race of alien abductions had occurred, and these people had been put as substitutes, and, you know, with a malign purpose to destroy the government and, you know, this country.
Well, you know, they are offended by the idea of a secular society. They're offended by the idea of a government that runs on something besides the Ten Commandments, never mind the fact that you couldn't run this government on the Ten Commandments, or that most of the Ten Commandments are unenforceable. They'd like to the point is, Jim, they'd like to try to enforce them.
Well, the thing about it is, now, you hit a very good positive. I think you struck a nerve last night, at least with me you did, and so did one of your callers. And I realized that it was cast in a sardonic mode, okay?
Yeah.
And it's the ownership society. Now, when you mention ownership society to me, this invades or brings to mind slavery, feudalism,
serfdom, vassalage.
Basically, the things that we've overcome. And this invades, of course, a very few people at the top of the pyramid, at the apex of the pyramid, and the rest of the poor people at the beneath, being thrown scraps of whatever the people on the top want.
Well, and in many ways, we're well on our way to that now, Jim. I mean, that's what the tax cuts were about.
Well, I'll tell you this, my friend. They can keep it up if they want to. And I said this afternoon on Dr. O'Brien's show, and I'm going to say this again. And I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and I'll do what I claim. But they can keep this up if they will have awakened a sleeping giant in this country and filled him with a terrible resolve. And once that critter stirs, he will grind them into a powder with a force that will make martial law resemble anarchy. And I can promise you that.
Well, hopefully someone will give, somewhere they'll learn a sense of restraint, but I don't know where, because they're not much into the learning gig. They live in an echo chamber, Jim.
Well, you know, as Khrushchev once said, there are certain mistakes that only the grave will correct. And that's the truth.
That
is the truth.
I hate to agree with Khrushchev, but...
Well, he wasn't such a bad guy.
Well,
really, he wasn't. I mean, you know, he was born in bad times. He basically had to climb out of a coal mine the best way he could.
And he was absolutely charming compared to Stalin.
Right, and he had to do the master's bidding. I mean, you know, before I judge some of these people, I have to look at the situation in which they were born and put myself in. You know, you just kind of walk in a mile in their shoes.
Right, but most of these right-wing freaks weren't born in any hardship. They were.
Oh, I know. They weren't born in the Donbass region of Russia.
No,
born in the lap of luxury compared to.
Right,
that.
They've had a silver foot in their mouth all their lives.
Well, they're going to get an iron foot in their AWS before it's over with, and they're going to wish to hell they hadn't messed with some of the things they're messing with now, because really they are playing with fire.
And they don't even realize it.
They are playing with fire.
They think it's the way they ought to be.
I mean, you know, they may think that they have. There's an old expression, my friend. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And there are more of us than there are of them. And I'll guarantee you one thing, there will come a time when you won't be able to find a person who will admit to having voted for George Bush or been a Republican.
Oh, I've been saying that for a while, and that day will not be long in dawning.
It's just like when they went into Rome in Italy. They said the Tiber River was so clogged with black shirts that the damn course of the river wouldn't run. I mean, really.
Oh, I know.
You know, who, me, not me.
Yeah, well, I know. And same thing. You know, you could walk down Unter den Linden in Berlin and me, a Nazi? Oh, no, not me.
I mean, you saw uniforms hanging off trees.
Right. Hey, Jim, I gotta roll on. I got a couple more callers I gotta hit. Thanks so much.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Take care. And Preston. Hey, Preston, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Somebody had posted some information about your show on a message board, and I checked it out on the web and really enjoying it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to have you on board.
Sure thing. And you're, you were just mentioning some of the right-wing evangelical leaders. You know, I'm just about an hour away from Colorado Springs.
Oh, mercy.
You know, home of Focus on the Family.
How do you get through the snakes?
Good question. But amazingly, there's been a lot of, there's been a growing response to the right-wing evangelicals. We had a, there was a protest by a group called Soul Force of about 700 people who went down to Focus on the Family headquarters and, you know, were fighting for gay rights and talking about religious tolerance and diversity and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, human rights.
You bet.
You know, and that's one thing I've touched on, Preston. I understand the gay community's focus on gay rights, but I think we're all going to be a lot better off when we start talking about them in terms of human rights. Because we ghettoize ourselves into little groups, and once we're, you know, it's pure just old fashioned boring Napoleonic tactics. As long as they've got us divided, we're easily conquered.
You're right, but I do think there's an array of interests and groups that kind of aligned against that. In fact, there's a just people who are interested in progressive parenting issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think are doing a lot of good work to counter some of the more authoritarian parenting approaches of Mr. Dobson.
Well, heavens, Preston, what do you make of it? You know, you talk in terms of parenting, when you tell people that they should beat their children until they cry real tears. For one, doesn't that open it up to some sincere child abuse from an almost sadistic standpoint? How, you know, is there a tool that measures how real a tear is?
Good question. And the sad thing is, it's Dobson's voice that's on like 2,000 radio stations.
Yes.
And people are having troubles with their families oftentimes with the economic insecurities and, you know, their kids being manipulated by child psychologists on the TV,
mm-hmm.
trying to create dissension between the parent and child. But I'd recommend progressive parenting journals like Mothering Magazine. And there's a teacher and a parenting counselor called Alfie Cohn, who just wrote a book called Unconditional Parenting, and he de-emphasizes the punishment and fear and reward approach, and he says love and reason are the ways to go. And before I let you go, I wanted to mention one more good sign. At the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, there was a lot of pressure coming from right-wing evangelicals
in
that institution. And a chaplain, a military chaplain, signed a report criticizing this development. She was fired.
Yes, she was.
Yep, and they're sending her to, off someplace else, Okinawa right now, but she may end up in Iraq and pulling that sort of duty for doing the crime of exposing these people. But she's getting a lot of support. People are speaking out over talk radio, writing letters to the editor, and people in the military who are dissenters are now getting louder. You know, I think many of them were hesitant to speak out, but they're starting to voice their problems with the right-wing evangelicals and even with the Bush administration policies of this, you know, preemptive war. And I mentioned to a friend of mine who noticed that in the military, it's divided about a third Democrats, a third Independents, and a third Republicans, but the officer corps is 8-1 Republicans, and so it seems like we've kind of developed a Republican guard within our own military.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And of course, Preston, the other thing that's ever so disturbing, I don't know if you realize it or if you've read it before, but our tax dollars, yours, mine, everyone's, our tax dollars are used to purchase or used to pay to pipe 2 hours a day of Rush Limbaugh into Armed Forces Radio.
Yep.
No, you know, there's no balancing Al Franken or Randy Rhodes or anything like that. It's 2 hours a day of Rush Limbaugh to the troops. So it's
a real problem.
Yes, it is.
So I think there's a struggle going on, though, to expand their options, to fight for their kind of freedom of consciousness. Media Matters is passing around a petition to get some of the Air America stuff on Armed Forces Radio. And other people, there are a lot of progressive people like Michael Moore who have sent, like, his books and his own DVDs to troops in Iraq.
Well, you know, Al Franken went so far as to go to Iraq. And that the troops absolutely loved him.
Yep.
Because he's funny. You know, I'm guessing over there you need a laugh once in a while.
definitely.
Because there's not a lot to giggle about.
Yeah, and you need good counseling. One good thing about Armed Forces Radio is they provide a show called New Dimensions. And that's, you know, the focus on the family. People would call them pagans or Satanists or whatever. But they do a lot of very, you know, they'll have people like Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk, on, and all these like people like Jim Wallace, who's a progressive Christian, who wrote a very important book recently called God's Politics.
Oh, it's a brilliant book.
Yeah, and, you know, big bestseller, 5,000 people a month signing up to their email. So there's a, there's certainly some ugly trends in the society, but some very good developments as well.
Well, yeah, and I think it becomes you can see the break happening. You can hear the frustration in America, you know, with the growth of things like this show, as people realize that they don't have to bow and scrape to these bizarre people. And Preston, I'm sorry, they're bizarre. Their beliefs are bizarre. Their lifestyles are bizarre, and there's no getting around it.
Yeah, you know, I think the appeal of people like Pat Robertson and others sometimes comes from, you know, they're reaching a lot of people who are in financially tough spots, and they'll show up with some food giveaways and things like that and do a lot of good publicity around it for themselves.
Or psychologically labile. These they're people who are looking... They feel adrift and you know, it's the same. I know people hate it when I bring out the Hitler reference, but it works the same way. If you provide concrete answers to difficult questions and you simplify it and you say, look, everything would be all right if it was just, if we could just take care of those others, them, they.
Yeah. And they, oddly enough, for claiming to be Christian people, they never recognize the other as part of the human family.
No.
You know, people like Michael Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Dehumanization campaigns are repulsive.
Oh, they're disgusting. You know, he refers to people of the Muslim faith and people of Arabic descent as animals and subhumans.
Yep.
Now I make fun of people, but I never deny them their humanity. I deny that they have intelligence, and as far as I'm concerned, they do that themselves. But, you know, that's me. Preston, so good to hear from you. I hope we'll hear from you again.
Sure thing. Nice speaking with you, Bob.
Take care. Thanks you for
too.
Listening, and thanks for calling.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Great. Colorado. Cool. Let's see. Yeah, we got enough time. Michelle is with us. Hey, Michelle, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. Your last conversation with your last caller really touched me. I called with a totally different question, but he talked about people telling you to beat your children. I'd spend years trying to get away from an alcoholic, abusive family father, and I brought my children into his home, and he repeatedly kept telling me, they need beat, they need beat, they need beat. And I defied him once, and years passed, and then I was in his household again, they need beat, they need beat, and I was in a position where I couldn't leave his household. So I took one of my children into the bathroom with the belt. And I couldn't do it.
No. No.
I couldn't do it. And I wound up giving my children to my ex-husband because I could not escape the situation. But I would be damned if they would be drug into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you can, and I thank you for sharing that, Michelle.
That was the hardest thing.
It takes courage to talk about things
in my life.
And yet these are the people who want to run the country, Michelle. They really, honest to goodness, want to run the country. And they're running around the country telling parents, you know, you don't really get a manual when you have a baby, you know?
No, you don't, but you do have instincts.
Right. But you've got people who don't know, you know.
You've got people telling you, do this, do that, do this, do that. Yeah. Oh.
And
there are just some things that you just can't do.
This book is out there. It's called Dare to Discipline. It is by James Dobson. He is a monster. And he says, beat your children until they cry real tears. Now, again, as I said with Preston, I don't know if the reality of the tears is measured by the volume, by the size, by the frequency with which they fly from the tear ducts.
No.
It's horrible.
No. I've been beaten as a child, and I mean, sometimes I would cry just to get out of the beating, you know, and that never even worked. because Daddy always knew, you know, Daddy just wanted to beat you.
He got off of
it. He just wanted to beat you.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not why I called, but that really touched me.
Well, thank you.
Jim had alluded on Dr. Bill's show the other day about Mr. Frist and some cats.
Mm-hmm.
What is that all about?
Oh, we've been talking about that for a while.
Oh, I haven't heard. You know I can't get you.
Yeah, I do. When Bill Frist was in medical school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, bear in mind, when you're in medical school, you get your very own cadaver.
Right.
And you carve on it, and you chop on it, and you learn all the body parts.
But they're dead.
Right. And it's a learning tool, and people donate their bodies to medical science, so that can happen.
And I might do that myself.
Well, Bill Frist didn't think that was enough. So he would go from Humane Society shelter to shelter to shelter to shelter, and he would adopt kitty cats to, for all the shelter knew, he was going to bring them home and love them and give them some tender victuals and, you know, sit on the lap while he studied. No, he'd bring them home, he would euthanize them, and he would vivisect them.
Okay. That being said, no one is talking about this mortal attack on this two-year-old by this pit bull.
I have deliberately avoided it because because I'm afraid I'm afraid I'm going to say something awful.
Y'all have been talking over my head with the nuclear option. I swear to God, I didn't know what that was. When I heard it, I thought that they were doing something else with the bomb.
Yeah. I call it the final solution.
Well, when I heard it, I swear to God, you know, coming on the heels of the Korean thing and they're going to put the missiles in space, that's what I thought.
I understand.
You know I don't sit in front of the TV.
Right.
Because I don't
have a TV to sit in front of.
Well, I do have a TV, but, you know, I play Nintendo on it. So,
right.
But not all day, and I don't sit in front of the news all day.
And Mario doesn't have a nuclear bomb yet.
Well, but, this pit bull thing, I would like to hear what people think about that.
Well, it's a fair topic, and it's open for discussion.
And I don't think that any breed should be outlawed. This is a horrific thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from my standpoint, Michelle, and maybe I'm wrong, we're running out of time. I'm going to hold you over if you don't mind. But so just something to chew on. It's kind of hard to blame the dog, isn't it?
Well, I've got several dogs myself, and I can't.
It's like blaming an alligator for being an alligator.
Well, I've got my opinion about that, and if you've got to hold me over, I'll give it to you.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Michelle. Hang on.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Again, if you guys want to talk about the pit bull thing, that's fine by me. There was the discussion of making people carry more insurance in that instance. I don't know how you verify it. I just know that there's a two-year-old little girl who died as horrific a death as could possibly be imagined. Perhaps short of having a bomb dropped on your house by George Bush, or a rock dropped on you in the middle of the night by, you know, a coal company. It might even be more horrific than that. But it's open for discussion. And we'll go over the details a little bit when we come back from the top of the hour news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Report card day.
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Can Jimmy come out and play?
This month, he'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Has given mosquitoes the opportunity to thrive. They can transmit West Nile virus. Let's make it harder for them to survive. Visit PestNile.org. It's up to all of us now.
News Talk 620, WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. The exiting low pressure takes the clouds with it. It's a slow clearing, though, as we look at the overnight hours. At 46 by tomorrow morning becomes Thursday around 70 degrees, so there's an improvement along with copious amounts of sunshine. Look for an isolated shower tomorrow night and Friday. And for Saturday, lingering showers hang around with a high of 69. Sun's back on Sunday, though.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Hey, don't fade it so fast. Thank you. There we go. I still like the darkness. Have they put out a second album? Did it flop already? Or? Oh, good. Good. I mean, that was a great album. Not a lot of some of it you can play on the radio. Get your hands off my woman. this is your nightly confrontation with the facts, this being the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. And Michelle was kind enough to hang out through the break and wanted to talk a little pit bull. Hey, Michelle, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, great.
And you know what? This ties in with being raised. Like I was raised, you know, beat 'em. You know, the best defense is a good offense. If you raise your dog like that, then your dog is going to be aggressive. I don't think that any breed should be outlawed, because my 9-year-old niece, who was 6 or 7 when this happened, was raised with a 125-pound Rottweiler who had to protect her from a 10-pound miniature pincher.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's not the breed.
No, it's the training in large part. It's nurture over nature. And in this particular instance in Huntington, the story we're talking about, just so folks will know if it's slipped their minds, about a week ago, was it, a 2-year-old child was mauled to death by a pit bull in Huntington.
And killed.
And killed, yes, and killed. And the owner said, you know, that they had made pains to make sure, you know, don't go in the house. The dog is in the house. The thing is, though, Michelle, they had already had one attack incident.
Well, yeah, that dog had killed another dog,
yeah,
right?
I believe so.
Yes.
And so, I mean, yeah, I think...
But the owner made... Well, I didn't hear that. The owner made pains? No, you don't make pains. You seclude the dog.
Well, apparently that is what the owner had at least attempted to do, and for some reason or another, the little toddler was allowed to wander into the house. They were out on the porch. The little toddler probably maybe had to go potty or something. And
well, no, from what I heard, she was following her mother into the kitchen.
Ah, okay.
And the dog attacked her. Now, a dog with an overzealous prey drive will attack anything that's making a high noise. And you know how toddlers are. They're going,
sure,
me, 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 you know, running after their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Some dogs will attack just that.
And
but it's not the breed.
No.
I have been, a friend of mine down in Florida used to raise and train fighting pit bulls. He used to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go out in the back with those pit bulls who were tied up with tire chains, and I would wash them and play with them. No malice in them whatsoever. But when you got them in the pit with another aggressive dog, they were all death.
Oh yeah, and unfortunately, I think of it as a shameful exhibition. I won't call it a sport.
It is a shameful.
And it goes back to Elizabethan England when they had bear baiting.
Yes, it's totally shameful. And I told my friend that, and he finally got rid of his dogs, and he found another life and all that stuff. But these dogs, to people, were harmless. Well, at least to me.
Yeah, or
I
unless,
was big.
Unless they were triggered.
I didn't, right, unless they, yes, that's exactly it. Unless they were triggered.
And, you know, something set that one off in Huntington. And
now, you
and
said that you didn't want to talk about this because you thought that you might say something
Well, you know, sometimes I open my mouth and the bats fly out, Michelle. You know me.
Well, yes. And that's why I was wondering, why would you be afraid to say anything?
Because, I mean, it just hurt me all the way down to my soul. I couldn't think of any appropriate way of addressing the issue. Part of you wants to go, well, death to pit bulls. And the other part, you know, you want to get mommy in a corner and just shake her for a while. You know,
from the reports, mom tried to favor me.
But mommy was also told, don't go in the house. The house has a vicious dog.
Exactly. Well, I hadn't heard that, but
yeah, I mean that seems to be uncontroverted, Michelle.
Really?
Don't go in the house.
Not go in the house.
There's a vicious dog in the house, and the owners weren't there. So what is mommy?
They weren't there.
No, what is mommy doing walking into a home that is not hers? The owners are not present.
Now, see, I was wondering why charges weren't being pressed. Now I'm getting the whole story.
And you know, the dog's been destroyed.
Yes.
Probably.
As you probably should have been.
Right. I mean.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. You come in. If you're a child and you come onto my property and one of my dogs attacks you, I'm shooting the dog.
Yeah. What else is there to do? The child, I mean, it's almost some sort of Old Testament life for a life kind of thing. But, you know.
No, you do not attack a child.
But after, you know, but the thing is, would it have been appropriate to put the dog down after it attacked, mauled, and killed the other dog?
Now, that's a question. Because that is just the dog being a dog.
Yeah, I got dogs. They don't, I mean, they play.
Well,
they don't try to kill
and
each
I've
other.
I've got several dogs, and they don't usually bother anything. They don't bother any other dog.
No, my dogs are people, okay? I mean, they've got better.
They are not people.
No, they've got better manners than some people. Is
what
I'm getting at.
Yes, I understand that.
I've got a cat that speaks some alien language. A friend of mine wrote and used to work in the video game industry. Said a friend had one of those real talky cats. And they were trying to find a voice for the aliens in the video game they were designing. They captured the sound of the cat going, wah, 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 wah. They captured that and tuned it down 3 octaves and ran it backwards, and it was the creepiest alien voice they'd ever made.
I used to have a cat named Morgan Le Fay, and I'd call her. I'd say, Morgan, Morgan, and she'd say, who, me?
Well, see, and that's this cat at certain times will stand by the door and look at my lovely wife and say, Mom, wow. I swear, you know, and if she gets...
Why not?
If she gets thumbs, we're done.
But I just really wanted to know what anybody thought of this, and I really hate to outlaw a breed because I know so many of that breed and so many of the Rottweiler breed that are just total protectors of their family.
Oh, we've got Labrador Retrievers, Michelle.
Oh, we have German Shepherds.
And when they bark...
Like I said, we have miniature pinschers who will put a hole in you without thinking about it.
Yeah, and I mean, these labs are just as gentle and sweet, but if they bark, it sounds like the gates of hell are yawning open. So some of it's perceptive, but then, I don't know if you caught it yesterday or the day before, there has been a legislative response to all of this.
No, I didn't catch that.
I think it's a delegate from up in Monongalia County wants to introduce legislation requiring...
Up the insurance.
Right.
Right. Well, you know what? I think better still than up in the insurance would be to make these dog owners go to classes with their dogs.
Or, you know, from the personal responsibility department, maybe you set it up so... In a very no questions asked kind of way, if your vicious dog, I don't care what the breed is, attacks someone and does them harm or death, then it's up the river with you.
Yep.
Go to prison.
Well.
Because.
Well, I don't know. If they come on your property and that's what the dog is supposed to do.
Well, I'm not talking about in a home defense situation. I'm talking about where a toddler walks
into
the kitchen and gets eaten alive.
Yeah, forget about it.
Yeah, goodbye. We'll see, you know, come back in 30 years.
Bye.
So, but the thing, it's a terrible issue, and it's a terrible problem, and I don't know that there's a solution.
I don't know that there is either, but you know, there's got to be something better than outlawing the breed.
I know people out there, Michelle, that swear by their pit bulls.
I know there are.
And they're just gentle, and they're just you know, little darling, you know, babies, and you know, and wouldn't hesitate to have a kid around them. And but then you take somebody who, you know,
who has raised it in a manner
consistent with humane pet ownership.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and then you have these other people who want this mean old pit bull.
Well, they think it's cool for
some
reason.
It's not cool. It's not ever cool to have a mean dog.
Well, the thing is, if you teach a dog to be mean, one of these days that dog may turn around and be mean to you.
Well, that dog has already been mean to that owner, and you know what that owner does to it?
Beats it.
Sure. Repeatedly. Even when the dog hasn't done anything to it. Oh, okay, I'm sure you have other callers.
I do, but it works around nicely into an inquiry into the nature of the human condition,
doesn't it, Michelle?
Into
the human condition, and that's what, yeah.
Because when you do that to humans, they respond in kind.
Hey, thanks for letting me share my earlier thing.
I appreciate it.
That other caller just really, really touched me.
Well, thank you for sharing, Michelle.
Thank you very much.
Have yourself a great evening, all right?
Thank you, honey.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and go to more of your phone calls. 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You say you want a revolution, yes, no. We all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution, yes, no. We all want to change the world. So don't talk about disruption. Don't you know that you can do it? Alright.
You know what?
I'm an American soldier.
I am a soldier in the Army National Guard.
I am a warrior and a member of a team.
I live the Army values.
I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough.
I am the guardian of freedom.
And the American way of life.
I am an American soldier.
I am the Army National Guard.
Defend freedom. In the Army National Guard, you can. Visit 1-800-GO-GUARD.com today.
Sponsored by the West Virginia National Guard, aired by the West Virginia Broadcasters Association and this station.
Where there's a tornado, where there's a forest fire, Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
When disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Has given mosquitoes the opportunity to survive. They can transmit West Nile virus. Let's make it harder for them to survive. Visit pestworld.org. Such all of us.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's a forecast from the Weather Channel. Excellent low pressure takes the clouds with it. It's a slow clearing, though, as we can feel for 9 hours. A 46 by tomorrow morning becomes Thursday around 70 degrees, so there's an improvement along with copious amounts of sunshine. Look for an isolated shower tomorrow night and Friday. And for Saturday, lingering showers hang around with a high of 69. Sun's back on Sunday, though.
We'll be up with a real majority. Head On.
Yes, it is. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. And let's go back to the phones. Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, you're Head On. Jose?
Bob.
There you are.
I'm a-struggling over here, and you're driving the nails.
I'm trying. swinging that hammer for all I'm worth.
An old Oriental proverb, don't grab a biting dove.
Sounds like more than proverbs. Sounds like just good common sense.
Yeah. Well, there's meek dogs, and there's preacher dogs, and politician dogs.
I think you're right.
And wolves.
Yep.
Sheep clothing. What you said, and Jim is making a lot of sense, but I don't think people's seeing the handwriting on the wall, what you and him are telling the Wednesday night meeting.
I think a lot of people are figuring it out, Jose.
Are they?
Yeah.
The Casablanca in Washington, I think Mr. President is thinks he's the president of the United Nations.
He thinks he's the ruler of the world.
Well, ain't that the world?
Yeah, kinda.
And he's the Prince of Peace.
Yep.
And then when you said it there a while ago, he's gonna bomb your home.
Yeah.
He will, because he wanted to go against the United Nations, and he went up there and told them, he says, looky here, I'm going over there in Iraq, if y'all back me or not.
Well, see, Jose, I remember very well, couple or 3 years ago, George was visiting Israel, and there were witnesses for this. And he looked at I forget who it was he was talking to directly, but he said...
A ruler of Israel.
Either that, or maybe it was a Palestinian leader of some sort.
Okay.
But he said, God told me to strike the Taliban, and I did. God told me to strike Iraq, and I did. And Jose, I'm very skeptical of the mental acuity of anyone who thinks in the 21st century that God is actively speaking to them. Now, I can understand, you know, you walk in the trees, you hear the whisper of the wind through the pine needles, and there's a manifestation of the glory of God. I'm completely understanding of that. But when you're running around telling people that God is telling you to attack and kill other people, we generally put those people in the rooms with the real soft walls. You know what I mean?
They're the Hitlers and the Mussolinis.
Because Hitler said, you know, I mean, Hitler said the same kind of stuff. God told me to do this.
The ones who cause war in the Catholic Church, what is the Jesuits?
Yeah.
They're the ones that pronounce war, kill people, and chaplains pray for the pilots to fly the missiles and
I know.
Give their blessing on it.
And as Preston, who called in earlier from Colorado, noted, there was a chaplain at the Air Force Academy, Jose.
I got him.
And she simply objected to the fact that students of the Air Force Academy were being browbeaten into being evangelicals. And she said, this is wrong. And they canned her for it. And you got to wonder, and you know, she said that, and other people have noted, the Air Force Academy has been under siege by the evangelicals for years and years and years. And if you think back, Jose, not too awfully long back, there was this terrible rape scandal at the Air Force Academy. And you got to wonder if maybe that wasn't a few of those good old evangelicals perpetrating that as well.
Well, they've been infiltrated, Bob, these false evangelizers, preachers, and et cetera, and priests. They've infiltrated the military, and see, they run the Pope out of the UN up there and told him this was not a religious place, this was a political place.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Jim, Washington, D.C., Washingtonian there, he's telling the people and the blood of those religious people is flooding out into the Potomac and Chesapeake Bay, and like you said, if he thinks he's a god, and God's speaking to him, and he's a special man, that's like Christendom. You know, they always said it'd be one man, but see, there's many antichrists. False Christ, there's many.
And false prophets?
Many.
And, you know, I for my part, Jose, I number these people that want to rule our government with their particular view of religion among those false prophets. Dobson, Falwell, Kennedy, Robertson, Gary Bauer, Donald Wildman, and the list is endless.
It's 900 million plus.
Absolutely. There's
billions.
And the lives, Jose, the lives that they destroy with this.
Well, see, the blood, like Jim says, it's a flowing from the Muslims, and then they say what happens to the Mormons out west is going to happen to the Catholics and the Southern Baptists and et cetera, and it's all coming to a finale.
Well, it looks that way, and we must remember that for every awful thing we have done to the Muslim world, there's a thousand years of vengeance waiting, and there will be Americans I've said it before, Jose, Americans as yet unborn and undreamt of that will pay with their blood for the hubris and the hate and the monstrosity of George W. Bush.
Yes, it looks like it. And see, the Muslims, the Catholics, put them in sinky boats and sent them out in the different bodies of water that they got over there. And they sank with them on them in history past. And they used the blood of the Indians in this country, the Spaniards, to mix mortar when they didn't have water out west. That's how cruel people's been.
Absolutely, and that's why I keep.
I'm letting you hold me in.
I tell you, Jose, it.
It's a telos in Greek, Bob.
Yes, it is, and I tell you what, that's why it kind of hangs in my craw. All these people run around going, "God bless America." No, it's God forgive America. It's God forgive America.
My businessman and my boss, he's got "In God We Trust."
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the King James Version read, G-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
See, Gog is the devil, too.
Gog and Magog out of the book of Revelation. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's all, you know, it's a false god.
Well, sure, and I remember back in the 70s when Hal Lindsey came out with all of his claptrap, and he was telling everybody that Gog and Magog, that was the USSR, it was Gog, and Magog was Moscow. But then, you know, the Soviet Union...
He could be our neighbor, our president.
Yeah.
Our congressman.
Yeah, and just as soon as you're sure you know what...
Our preacher in the pulpit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like in the Arabic language, some Muslim friends of mine have explained to me the meaning of the word jihad. And the true meaning of the word jihad is an internal struggle for righteousness and decency and doing the right thing and overcoming temptation and serving the will of Allah.
Well,
and it doesn't mean going out and blowing up babies.
Right. Just like me and you, we used to be taught hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back of it, it had J-A-H, or praise Jah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Jah, and Jah's abbreviation for Jehovah.
Yahweh.
And over there in that country in Iraq, if they've been fighting over there, on the last three letters, it's got Jah on it. J-A-H, what is that city they've been bombing?
Fallujah.
See, amigo.
Absolutely.
Hey.
It's all over, isn't it?
It's the climax.
We
tell your friends.
We seem to be running headlong toward it.
And we'll let you go, Bob.
All right, thanks, Jose. Always a pleasure. Take care. Good night to you.
Bye.
Bye now. God bless. Okay, bottom of the hour break time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Travel problems are being blamed for the cancellation of Howard Dean's visit to West Virginia today. The chairman of the National Democratic Party was scheduled to be in Charleston for a midday rally, but West Virginia Democratic Party Chairman Nick Casey says Dean had to cancel because his commercial flight from Washington was severely delayed. The consumer advocate for the State Public Service Commission says there is good news and bad news when it comes to natural gas rates. Billy Jack Gregg says natural gas rates will stay high this fall, but he says there is no anticipated sharp jump in prices over last year. Gregg says that 50% increases in natural gas rates have happened over the last 2 years. New rates for this winter will be worked out in August and September. West Virginia's nearly 19,000 video lottery machines have provided a gross revenue of more than $1 billion, with nearly 6 weeks in the 2005 fiscal year remaining. That means the lottery has a good chance of breaking the record video slots gross revenue from the 2004 fiscal year. A West Virginia native was among two Louisiana National Guard members killed by snipers in Iraq. 25-year-old Bernard Sembley was originally from Hinton, but moved to Louisiana while he was in high school. The Department of Defense says Sembley and 22-year-old Sergeant Robert Enfell were killed last Thursday in Baghdad. The head of the Ohio County Republican Executive Committee has been selected to replace Hiram Lewis as treasurer of the state GOP. State Party Chairman Rob Capehart announced Scott Reed's appointment yesterday, the same day that Lewis resigned. The chief investigator for the Secretary of State's Election Fraud Unit has been fired just less than a month after he was hired. Secretary of State Betty Ireland fired John Canterbury last week. Ireland spokesman Ben Beeks declined to say why Canterbury was dismissed. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy and chilly, low around 50. Tonight, cloudy and chilly again, low around 45. But then for Thursday, partly cloudy and warmer. Tomorrow's high, near 70. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
When I first read it in my morning paper, I nearly choked on the Cheerios. It was a comment by Tom DeLay. Maybe you're one who thinks that surely the bottom of the barrel has been scraped when it comes to the sheer obtuseness and self-bloated arrogance of some of our congressional leaders. If so, you obviously have failed to look under the barrel, which is where you'll find DeLay, the ethically challenged Republican Majority Leader of the U.S. House. Tom, known unfondly in Washington as the Hammer for his thuggish legislative tactics and blatant selling of legislative favors to corporate interests, is so corrupt that he already has been slapped with 5 official reprimands by Congress's Bipartisan Ethics Committee, is under investigation by a host of Republican-controlled committees and agencies, and faces the live possibility of indictment by a Texas grand jury investigating his role in an illegal scheme to launder corporate money into state legislative races. Yet, this guy asserts with a straight face that he is God-sent to reign over Congress and impose his personal sense of biblical morality on all government policies. When criticized for his obvious ethical failures, he not only poses as a martyr who is beset by vengeful political enemies, but he even goes messianic on us, comparing his plight to that of, quote, Jesus on the cross. All of this is why I gagged and damn near upchucked when I read that DeLay had attended a recent prayer gathering on Capitol Hill where he issued a clarion call for public officials to practice, get this, greater humility. In God, he piously intoned, all things are possible, even greatness from sinners like you and me, especially me. This is Jim Hightower saying, greatness? Great sleaziness, maybe? Then Tom added, humility is something I work on every day. Not enough, Tom. Not nearly enough. That's why your public approval rating is only 27%, about the level of mad cow disease.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. Hey, libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from a magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.kla.org.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worrying who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This will all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This will all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime, and your family serves a sentence with you. Gun crimes hit home.
A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods for the Southern District of West Virginia and the Ad Council.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeedy. And straight back to the phones, Jack is with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Bob.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm just worried about where I growed up and was raised at.
Yeah.
Down at Lots Massey took over that whole mountain. They got guards. You can't even get in that mountain down there, buddy.
Oh, no.
And I think about Cold City. Down there where those people's going through that Marsh Fork, where they're raising hell about.
Yeah.
Listen, bud. I want to say something, Bob. I'm very short. I'm short-winded. But, sir, I'd like to ask you, where in the devil are we going here?
We're lost.
Are they going to take all these mountains over? Now, I'm going to ask you, what did they get for it? Maybe I could afford that mountain.
That's the beauty of it. Jack Massey doesn't even buy the mountain. They lease the mountain, blow it up, and then hand it back to a holding company.
What politician are we involved with, Democrat or Republican here?
Both. Both?
Both.
Yeah, because...
Okay.
The coal, I mean, I reserve the right to criticize my own party and the other one, where this is concerned, because what we're just seeing what we are reaping the fruits of 100 years, Jack, of our political process being bought and paid for by big coal. And every time they figure out a way to destroy West Virginia a little more efficiently, they start on it. And that's the, you know, that's why they're in love with blowing up these mountains. They say it's efficient.
Well, Bob, okay, sir, I didn't interrupt you, though.
That's all right.
But, sir, if they did that there, they'll do it all over this country. Listen, I grew up in a town down in London, and I grew up in that hollow where now you cannot go up there. I can't even go up there where I used to, was born and raised.
Uh-huh.
But yet, getting back to something, are you saying both politicians, both political parties are involved in this?
Sure they are. Sure they are. They're
well, how much did they pay for that mountain, Bob? Do you not know that?
No, I honestly don't.
You're going up into Hughes Creek, all up in there, and they take that whole mountain off. And I had one a member of the town down there. They said, "How'd you get up in here?" He said, "Well, I own property." Well, you know, this is crucial. This is. If they take that over, they'll take over every damn mountain there is in this country.
If there is a scrap of coal underneath it, you are absolutely right, Jack.
Well, I dug coal out of the creek briar up there, and that's very low. Mm-hmm. If they take that, they've already endangered people's lives down there. You would not believe.
Oh, but I would.
And Dunn Hollow, that will go. And now I like to know what politicians got no sense. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna call on Mr. Manchin about this because he is now the governor, and I am simply gonna follow this up somewhere. Somebody's gonna get hurt. They put them little guards down there, and they're just earning their living, and I know that. While the big guys are hiding behind the scene.
Well, you'll notice that Don Blankenship doesn't live down Coal River. He doesn't live in the mess he makes. And he doesn't want to.
Well, down at Marsh Fork, you're hearing people crying down there about their kids going to school. And my God, can we come to sensible thoughts about this?
As long as the amounts of money that are involved remain involved, Jack, I would suggest that no, we can't come to a sensible
thought. Well, I want to tell you, you can say what you say there, but I'm going to be fighting this crap.
Well, they're
a piece of crumb, and you know darn well they're in danger.
Yes.
And don't blame the people.
No.
This is a hell rising thing here.
Yeah,
if
it
they
is.
They take that over, they're taking over America on this.
Well, you know, just Jesse, the young man producing the show in John Kepi's absence, was talking about it last night. He went to that school, Jack, and during the 4 years he went to that school, he thought he had asthma because he couldn't breathe worth a hoot. He got away from that school, and he's breathing fine. What does that tell you?
Bob, I've never been told enough about it, buddy. This is going backwards. This is not right. Well, I've got people down there that's got a little vehicle, so like going to the mountain.
Yeah.
We like going to the mountain to cool off. And that.
Sure.
I'm not no miner.
No.
And if the miners did something, that's not my problem. But yet they got guards. My God, they all be over there on the border protecting our country.
I like the way.
Well,
you
we're
think.
In a different world here, buddy.
Yes, we are. It's upside down. It's backwards. We're down. You know, we're down the rabbit hole. Nothing makes sense. I mean, they're looking to put another loading silo, coal silo. They're looking to build another coal silo right
it's
on top of that school.
All over West Virginia. They want. It's not going to stop there. It's going to go all. Here and go everywhere you want to, buddy.
Mountaintop and mountain range removal, Jack, is in West Virginia. It's in Virginia. It's in Kentucky. It's in Tennessee. It's anywhere that they find a scrap of coal in a mountain.
Well, can you ask me what I could do about it? Could I write my what I'm calling the governor of the state?
Write the governor. Write your elected. Members of the House of Delegates here,
what would you say to this too? That I'd like to go down to London and get some people to rebel against this. Bob, here's another thing. People buy their hunt license. DNR don't give a gosh darn. You buy your hunt license. These guys can't travel 90 miles or 80 miles to hunt.
Nope.
Okay. They only got a little income and they love hunting and, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not miners.
Well, look at
we're
it.
Not destructive. We're not being destructive.
Well, look at it. You ever been sanging? Yeah, you know, hunting for ginseng.
No, sir, I never done.
But you know people who do, I'm sure, or did.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, we've got. Do you understand that if you hunt that out of season, you can go. You can. Be punished, you can go to jail, you can
yes,
be fined.
Yes, I heard that too.
Well, consider what Massey does. They blow up entire mountains with ginseng.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's nothing.
Hey,
that's
and
okay.
The habitat, the squirrels, the rat, you name it.
Yeah.
Blow up a habitat for animals.
Yeah, and those.
Okay, something's got to come of this. This is not right.
Wear them out, Jack. Wear them out.
Huh?
Wear them out. Right to all of them. Tell them you're unhappy about it.
Well, Bob, I am going to try to kick something up down there in London. I mean, I got a cemetery down there. My mom and dad's been buried, and a lot of relations buried down there, and they got the control of that mountain over that cemetery.
You talking about down along Route 60?
Montgomery Memorial Park.
Yeah, I've got
They got control over that.
I got family in that cemetery too, Jack.
Well, it's very sad. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I feel sorry for people down there in Marsh Fork on Coal River.
Absolutely. But you know what? They're not taking it lying down.
No. You know, Bob, I don't know what's coming to. Something's wrong, buddy. Real badly wrong. And you said it was, Democrats and Republicans.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, all you got to do is look at the contribution list and see who takes Don Blankenship's Massey money.
That's wrong, Bob. You know,
it is
it's
wrong.
A little mountain. You like to get up there and enjoy yourself, cool off, take your little beagle.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's damn wrong.
Yes, it is. Yes,
well,
it
thank
is.
You so much, sir, for your
thank
time.
Thank you, Jack. Always good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You take it easy now. Okay. I'm proud of what Coal River Mountain Watch did down there. And again, it's worth reminding you that, and sometimes on this show, I tend to take it for granted that people know what we're talking about. But as the show grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, people outside the general, the local area need to understand the state of West Virginia is under attack. In particular, a corporation called Massey. And if you're outside the list, the West Virginia area, and you don't know what mountain range removal is, for God's sakes, go to OHVEC.org, and there are photographs there. Go to Coal River Mountain Watch, and there are photographs there, and you can see what happens to an entire mountain range. Remember, about every week and a half, the state of West Virginia has enough explosives used to equal one Hiroshima. And it bears repeating that when the spring rains come, like what we're getting now, children go to sleep with their clothes on because they hope that when the sludge dam with 6 billion gallons of toxic goo behind it breaks, they hope that by having their clothes on, maybe they'll have a chance to escape. The school that we're talking about has one coal silo by it. They want to build a second one. There's a tank of anhydrous ammonia next to it. If it ever leaks, every child in that school is dead. They have breathing problems. They have health problems. There is a developing cancer cluster down there. All because Massey Energy and its dear leader, Don Blankenship, who is, by the way, a multi-millionaire, thinks he hasn't made enough money yet. And for that, we flatten mountains. Go, if you're not familiar with it, go have a look at it. You want to see a third world nation? Welcome to wild, wonderful West Virginia. We've been a third world country for 100 years, and a few people are standing on their hind legs and trying to get away from it. And trying to demand that we be treated with some common level of decency, and that we be allowed a legacy of a world that is at least a little bit unpoisoned that we can pass on to our children, because this is a special place. If you've never been here, you're missing something. Special people, special place. My God, our mountains are so old that they used to look, they used to be the tallest mountains on earth. And they have been worn away and ground down and eroded. And what has taken literally billions of years to round into hills instead of steep alpine mountains can now be accomplished in a matter of days with a couple of million pounds of explosives. So have a look. Have a look. Got an email from our friend David in South Carolina. We were talking about the standards as they apply to Republicans and Democrats. He says, notice that a Democrat combat veteran is viewed as weak on defense issues, that would be Kerry, while a wartime deserter becomes commander-in-chief and receives 70% of the military vote. Yeah, I know, that's flashback stuff. Not to mention the vice president and his multiple draft deferments. Remember how we used to hear all about Ted Kennedy's DUI when Junior and Cheney have a few of those, too? Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on. Now notice how the media is already talking in glowing terms about McCain's military career. Yep. I'm down here, David writes, in the midst of Lindsey Graham territory, and he's really catching it from the Repugs. Their right flank is destroying them. They were already angry since Lindsey apologized to Hillary for the things he said about Bill. Oh, yeah, that had him hopping. The little bat wings unfolded and squealed. Fly! I see this from a different angle, David writes. Graham was McCain's manager here in South Carolina for the 2000 primary. Remember what Rove did to McCain? Oh, yeah, we've talked about that a lot. The push-pull, the telephone calls in the still of the night. Did you know that John McCain has a black baby? And believe me, that still plays all over the South, not just South Carolina. It plays in North Carolina, it plays in Georgia, it plays in Mississippi, it plays in Alabama. Remember what Rove did to McCain. Lindsey Graham has responded to every letter, fax, and email I've sent him David says. Even though we disagree 90% of the time, he responds and gives me some reasoning behind his votes. He's also getting sick of Iraq. Now, Jim Demented, on the other hand, has never answered a single thing I've written him. Jim Demented is the freshman senator from South Carolina. He who is running around trying to make sure that he chases down all them secret clandestine lesbians who are teaching in the South Carolina school systems and passing on their homosexual agenda. This guy is, he's crazier than an outhouse rat. Michelle has rejoined us. Hey, Michelle. Okay. Yeah, okay, Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
I listened to your last caller. A lot of good information there. And we know that our state's being ripped all the heck, but I didn't realize it was as extensive as what he said.
It's all over.
Yeah.
I saw a map one time of all these filthy sludge ponds, and it just looks like somebody's taken a magic marker and just dotted West Virginia. And we're talking about billions of gallons of this toxic garbage at a time.
Well, these coal mines have never been a responsible operation.
No.
You know, people tend to forget Buffalo Creek. They forget the big explosion at Summerlee over here in 1903.
Eccles.
And Eccles. You know, we lived at Eccles when that happened. And well, my dad did, and it's just money is their target, and no consideration for landowners that or they're rolling rocks down into their homes and stuff like that. But anyway, that wasn't what I called about it. But I do understand what's going on, and I don't know when the people, you know, we're doomed to repeat what the coal miners went through way back there in the 30s and 40s because of the way the companies are doing.
Well, in many ways, I think all of organized labor is doomed to repeat. We're going to have to fight the fights all over again.
Yeah. If you forget your history, you'll repeat it, somebody said.
Yep.
Well, I just had a couple quick comments. And I wanted to get your opinion and see where I'm off base, because it seems like I'm out of whack with some of the other ones. But on these dogs, why don't we just get a copperhead and put it in bed with us?
Well,
that's my evaluation of these dogs and compared to a child's life. Do we have a history to show what these thinking dogs are worth? And people can defend them if they want to, but I think they should...
Ed, I don't think it's necessarily a matter of defending them. It's a matter of noting the fact that it's not necessarily the dog's fault for being what the dog is. Any dog can be made vicious, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen vicious poodles. I know that sounds funny, but I have. They are bred for, were originally bred for fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like gamecocks.
You don't think it's in their genes?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they were bred for fighting, and the same thing with a fighting cock. It's there to fight. I mean, you're not going to raise them to fry on Sunday.
Well, when my brother and his wife lived in Charleston, they had an old big police dog of some kind, and I walked in the yard, and here that thing come, charging and snarling, carrying on. I picked me up a stick that fell out of a tree. It wasn't much for defense. Here she come to the door. That's just like you, Ed. You're going to kill our dog with a stick. I said, no. I said, I was going to defend myself if that dog come on with that act he's got. But that's, people that defend those kind of dogs, I think there's something wrong with the dog and them both. But anyway, that wasn't my main topic, and I don't want to start a war over dogs.
It's all
but,
right.
But that, and like you said, your program is a program of opinions, and that's mine. It's a lot easier. It's the same thing that I would do if a copperhead was in my yard.
Right, I kind of live in a rural area, Ed, and I wouldn't hesitate for an instant. You know, we got coyotes. Never mind the pit bulls, we got coyotes, and they will gang up on children.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't hesitate to take the 12-gauge out and blast one.
I would anyway. They don't have to have, I wouldn't have to have any children. But these pet bulls, I forget how many pounds of pressure, they can crush a kid's leg even with a bite. If they have such an enormous bite power.
Yeah.
So that's what I look at is what is the purpose of them? Now, if you had about 10 acres and chain link wire fenced in, that's one thing. But just to have them, because you put a sign up or don't go in my house, you know, that little kid couldn't read that sign or couldn't understand why
it followed its mother.
Yeah.
That's why I want to, you know, I think some serious questions need to be asked of the mother.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you something else to talk about. It was in the news just a little bit ago about this, in Louisiana, about this, I don't know how or what provoked the guy to turn himself in, the pastor of one of these churches.
Yeah, Ponchatoula, Louisiana, the Hosanna Church.
Yeah, and LaMonica was his name.
Yep.
And, but they're saying now that he committed enough offenses, not only bleeding cats and so forth like that, that if he's convicted of what he's done, they're saying now that he could face the death penalty.
Yeah, because rape of a child is a capital offense in the state of Louisiana. And they're saying there are the stories I've read, this guy was the pastor of a church. We talked on a little bit, Ed. This guy, 24 children,
yeah,
ranging in age from infants to teenagers.
Well, you know what? I really think until the penalty outweighs what they do, that it's not going to cure the problem. This guy should have known since he lived there that he was subject to the death penalty. So something's terribly wrong that a person would go ahead. Well, it's something terribly wrong to go ahead and do something like that anyway.
And he did it in the name of Christ.
Yeah. Well, that. You know, I am so convinced that the falling of the way of the church is not going to be by choice, but people. It's going to be by force, by the pastors and the people that head these churches up. I'm convinced that falling away is near. And you hear people call in defending them all. We're down on religion. I'm not down. Yeah, I am down on religion.
I'm down on religion that gets married up with politics.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of difference between religion and salvation, and I'm not telling you anything. Somebody told me you was a Bible scholar.
I've read a little.
Yeah, well, I figure on about everything, ain't it? But anyway, why do they get into something like that unless it would be because they would have the chance to be exposed to kids?
Well, that's exactly it. And that's one of the problems with religion in America today is that they have provided not only a hunting ground, but a hiding place for some of the most monstrous people among us.
Mm-hmm.
And until we fix that, well, I mean, I won't leave my kids alone with a so-called minister of the gospel. I just won't do it.
I don't think it pays to leave them alone. You better be real selective.
Yeah, there's not many people I will leave my wife or I will leave our kids alone with.
Well, I'm on the before the time's up. I want to go over and see where I'm off base. It seems like everybody's pretty agreeable with this on this nuclear option.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ed, do you mind holding on through the news break?
I sure will.
I'll bring you right back, okay?
All right, thank you.
Stand by, please. All right, and it is time for the news break. When we come back, some chat about the nuclear option. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Ed On. I'm Bob.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, of the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
Head on.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 5th, my big brother was sentenced to 7 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 7 years of not having my best friend to play with.
When you commit a gun crime,
Your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
According to research from the Star, Dennett, and ATM Network, 1 in 6 people are victims of identity theft. And the newest scam is phishing, spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Be on guard. Visit phishinginfo.org to learn more. A message from the National Consumers League.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Exiting low pressure takes the clouds with it. It's a slow clearing, though, as it could be overnight hours. At 46 by tomorrow morning becomes Thursday around 70 degrees, so there's an improvement along with copious amounts of sunshine. It's an isolated shower tomorrow night and Friday. And for Saturday, lingering showers hang around with a high of 69. Sun's back on Sunday, though.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. We were talking with Ed before the break, and for those of you listening locally, if you heard the ABC Top of the Hour news, another study out saying that statin drugs have another miraculous aspect. And maybe they do. But there's something inside me that thinks that study was probably sponsored in whole or at least in part by a manufacturer of statin drugs, perhaps. Well, we found out that recently that Crestor, one of the statin drugs, will just about rot you from the inside out. And so to counter that, here we go. Statin drugs not only will decrease the risk of colorectal cancer by 50%, they will make you pee pure liquid gold. Do you think ABC could be bothered to maybe include the fact that of who sponsored the study? Maybe, just for the fun of it. Real journalism, you know.
Nah.
It's profit-induced. Remember, it's not about the facts. It's not... You know, yeah, the liberal media. Oh, my aching back. Let's go back and talk to Ed some more. Hey, Ed, your head on. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, you're very welcome. Probably so many people here are not, I'm not in agreement with what they say, or they're not in agreement with me, whichever.
On the nuclear option?
Yeah. I have a real problem with them still being able to hold everything over our head.
Right.
And bring it up again when I think that we I think part of it was a game. Old Frisk, or whatever his name is, he acted like he was very disappointed by not getting his way all the way through. But I really think he got what he wanted.
Well, they got Priscilla Owen through.
Uh-huh.
They're going to get Janice Rogers Brown through. They're going to get William Pryor through, and they're just, all three of them are judicial monsters, and they'll serve for life. But I don't think Frist is play acting about his displeasure, because you see, Bill Frist wants to be president real bad.
Well, he's a complete damned idiot. The thing of it is, he got the judges they wanted, and he still got all the options on that nuclear option.
Yeah, but the thing is, in the process, and I was very upset about the whole thing. It smelled like appeasement to me. A case where, you know, we Democrats said, okay, here, Republicans, we promise not to shoot our gun, so therefore let us give you our gun.
Yeah.
And because the Republicans are still going to define what constitutes an extraordinary circumstance.
They're going to dictate to the Democrats what they're going to do.
Sure they will. But here's the upside to it, and I'm coming to the conclusion that it may well have been worth the trouble to go through the process, Ed, because we are seeing before our very eyes the absolute implosion, explosion, whatever, the degeneration of these degenerate religion industry punks. I mean, they are howling for blood. They want to kill Bill Frist. They want to tear limb from limb anybody that they can find who had anything to do with that deal. They say they have been betrayed. And I want, you know, I like seeing them come unglued like this, because that way the world gets to see them with their little rubber mask off, and we get to see the whole, you know, the whole deal with the goatee and the horns, and we see the devil for what it is in the way that they're coming apart.
Well, what would happen if, I mean, could the Democrats have really shut down the government by refusing to be, to make the meetings and so forth? Could they have done that?
They say they could have.
Well, I'd say they ought to have kept their beds up there then.
But we would have gotten beaten to death with that, Ed. We really would have. We would have absolutely been beaten to death by the right wing. They're obstructionists. You know, God, how many times did we hear that said about that poor little lily-livered Tom Daschle, who never said a harsh word about anybody? And they said he was obstructionist because he didn't want to let these judicial freaks onto the bench.
Well,
and you got to remember, ABC, CBS, NBC, all the alphabet soup news outlets would pick that up and run with it. And tonight's top story: obstructionist Democrats.
Yeah. Well, we're still going to have. I mean, we still got that potential of having to face this same thing all over again.
Yes, we do.
And you know what I would love to see, and I know you're talking about being off the scale left wing. I'd like to see it put in concrete that no rules and no standard procedures that has existed for 200 years could not be changed in the next 80 years, and that there had to be at least a 90% vote to do it.
I don't see any problem with that. If it's worked for 200 years, odds are it works.
Yeah, well, that's like getting in a poker game and you understood that a straight flush beats four aces, and then all at once the house man wants to change around. If you get four natural aces, it beats a straight flush.
And then that's a very good analogy, Ed. That's exactly what they do. They change the rules in the middle of the game, and then they complain. Well, I mean, look at what they said. They complained that it was Democrats abusing 200 years of tradition, when in fact
It's them.
It was an, you know, just telling a lie, and the whole media complex going, yep, Republicans wouldn't lie.
Well, they're saying, well, the majority should rule. But the rules are that it took, they want 50% plus one is what they want.
Right.
And the rules have been all the time that it took 60%, isn't it?
It takes 60% to break a filibuster.
Yeah, right. Well,
it used to take two-thirds.
Yeah. Well, I have mixed feelings on the filibuster, but I also have mixed feelings on the numbers that they roll out there that it takes to get something done.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that the old rule should be fixed, and I don't mean fixed today and changed. I'm talking about they should be in concrete for the next 80 years, and it took 90% to change any of those rules.
I think that would probably be pretty wise, Ed. But again, we're dealing with Republicans. And when a Republican doesn't like a rule, a Republican changes the rule to suit them. I mean, we saw it in the whole ethics committee business in the House of Representatives. Tom DeLay got censured three times in the last Congress for his filthy dealings. So what did he do? He had a purge. He got rid of the guy. That was sitting on the head of the ethics committee on the Republican side, and got him a little toady in there. And as a consequence of that, they then turned around and tried to change the rules, because the rules were becoming a little bit too uncomfortable for Mr. DeLay, and they got caught at it, and they got busted for it. But again, it's inspiring to see, and you know who was part of busting him on that was Alan Mollahan from the from Northern West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, represents Morgantown, that area. It was gratifying to see him stand up to them, and the more that we stand up to them, the more that we will see them for the freaks and fascists that they are.
Well, the other point on this compromise, if this would have gone through, then even the ones that's not familiar with what's going on in this country, it would have been so obvious how they would ram stuff down our throat.
Ed, maybe
just arbitrarily do it.
Maybe 30% of the country was paying attention to the filibuster fight. The rest of them were watching the Michael Jackson trial. This is a nation of sheeple.
Or a ball game with a six pack.
Yeah, or a race, or off at the new Walmart.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad to see the kind of people that is from the distant places that is calling in your program, and the kind of support that it appears that that the program's coming up with. I'm just so happy. I want to make one other comment, and I'll get off here and let somebody else get on the phone. Today I heard on another program where a guy called, well, the afternoon program, because I don't want anybody to think I'm listening to it, Rush Limbaugh or one of the others. But I heard him say, well, I voted for George Bush, and I'm proud of it. You know, I'd tell him, pride before sudden destruction.
Ain't that the truth? Pride goeth before a fall.
Yep. Well, Bob, I'll talk to you later. I appreciate your time, appreciate your program, appreciate the information.
All right, thanks, Ed. It's always good to hear from you. You take care now.
All right, thank you.
Later now. Mm-hmm. All right, 16 minutes after 9, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I don't know, let's make it a surprise. Who knows what we'll do next. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for spring sale today. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Side and by with zero down. And make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rulemakers Drive in Hackley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Great selection. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Our select models with a blue pen. Get the solution and purchase exactly worldwide. For all 306 from up to 60% to 6.5% of your highest offer inside 3105.
This is the sound of local charities, food drives, and disaster relief without local broadcasters. But with the help of local broadcasters, things can change.
We're here at the 6th annual Auction News Run to fight cancer. What makes this event unique is a large number of runners who are actual cancer survivors.
All across America, thousands of local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, sponsoring events that offer hope to those who need it. And it doesn't stop there. America's local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, disaster relief, and raise millions for charity.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your toy donations to help kids throughout our area.
While we can't always control the world around us, communities can rely on broadcasters for local information all at the touch of a button.
You're tracking the storm system, and it looks like it's moving past our area. But authorities are urging people.
America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
Shining a little light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, and what we were talking about with Ed is valid. This is schoolyard stuff. It's about standing up to bullies. And as an aside, I've had some emails, people saying, you know, Bob, you know, you beat on the religion thing. Well, we talk current events on this program. And occasionally some history, maybe a little art. I'm fond of films. But the heart and soul of this is current events and politics and the health of the body politic of this republic, this daring little experiment that was put together a little over 200 years ago. And right now, the heart and soul of the political discussion in this nation is whether our republic can withstand the assault that has been brought against it by these religio-fascists. Again, please remember, fascism doesn't have to come to America in spiffy black uniforms and scary peaked hats. It can come to America in a cheap polyester suit in the form of old Donald Wildman from the Mississippi-based American Family Association. And here's a classic case of standing up. Now, for 9 years, the American Family Association has, I think it's 9 years, years and years and, yeah, 9 years. They have had a boycott, the American Family Association. They've had a boycott of Walt Disney and all things Disney. Now, I bear no great love to corporations, but these people boycotted Walt Disney and Disney World and Disneyland and Disney videos and the cute Disney clothes, the Disney stores, all things Disney. They boycotted Disney because Disney refused to harass gay people. They boycotted Disney because Disney had... they set aside a weekend, I think, gay people came from all over America just to spend a pleasant weekend at Disney World without being harassed and having things thrown at them and names called. In other words, where they could just have a few days as the ordinary, normal, human Americans that they are. And this got the hate freaks of the religion industry-based American Family Association all up in a dither. And so they declared a boycott. Well, Dateline Agape Press, Agape, yeah, by Rusty Pugh, May 23rd, the Mississippi-based American Family Association is announcing the end of its years-long protest against the Walt Disney Company. Why? Is it because Walt Disney finally knuckled under and said, okay, we realize it. We live in a theocracy, and you guys get to determine who's good and who's bad and who gets to come to Disney World? No. The boycott is over because the boycott was ineffectual. AFA President Tim Wildman, you see, and of course, Donald has passed it on to Tim now, and he's just as creepy as his daddy. Says there are a number of reasons for this recent decision, and chief among these reasons is what he calls a culturally crowded battlefield. Again, with the war references, it's a battlefield. Gay people going to Disney World is like war. Tim Wildman needs to go to Iraq. Needs to put on the crappy substandard armor and ride around in a, what do they call it, hillbilly armored Humvee, and watch human beings blown into their constituent parts, so that maybe he would come back and not refer to gay people going to Disney World as battle. It's a culturally crowded battlefield. And the boycott has to end because there are so many other issues we need to move on to. Like what? I mean, years ago when this group got started, they were into things like boycotting Procter & Gamble. Because Procter & Gamble, that little moon and sixpence symbol or whatever they've got, the little crescent, that's a symbol of the devil. It's a symbol of the devil, honest to God it is. Procter & Gamble is in service of Satan. That's right. And if you play some dishwashing soap backwards, it says, "Oh sweet devil, I worship thee." It does. If you take some Colgate Palmolive toothpaste and let it dry on your bathroom sink, sure enough, it will drip down the porcelain in the shape of Satan himself. It will. I mean, that's the kind of weird freaks these people are. So, because there are so many other issues we need to move on to and deal with that are taking our time and energy. In other words, it was a silly, stupid, hateful waste of time. But Disney stood up to them, Disney ignored them, and now they have gone away. Now, that was part of the way I was raised. I was raised in the thinking that it takes a much bigger man to walk away from a fight than to stand and get in one. Sometimes it just gets all over you, though, and you gotta be apparently a little man and stand there and be in the fight. But they were stood up to. And those seven Republicans, even if the compromise comes to naught, those seven Republicans stood up to these freaks. And now James Dobson and Gary Bauer are calling for the head of Mike DeWine from Ohio. Because these religious freaks don't understand that they're not in the majority. They are a weird little fringe minority that has deluded itself into believing itself in some position of superiority by virtue of the fact that if they say Froggy, George Bush yells, "How high?" All you got to do is stand up to them. And standing up to them can consist of ignoring them, or it can just as easily consist of standing toe-to-toe with them, and before they ever get a chance to swing, bloodying their nose real good. So take heart. As I said, we are watching the absolute disintegration of the single most ethically, morally dead group of people in the United States. And we may be averting some of the danger that they pose to our republic. But they're absolutely coming apart. And it's beautiful to behold. And it's across the board, whether it's Robertson or Falwell or Coral Snake Ministries or Dobson or Bauer or Wildman or Randall Terry from Operation Rescue a Lump of Tissue. They just lost in the House of Representatives on embryonic stem cell research, with some Republicans again apparently standing up and realizing that maybe I've been at the table with some of the wrong kind of people. And they are, and of course, you know, what they have is threats. Poor Mike DeWine's office has had some of the nastiest phone calls in the last 2 days from some of the most hateful individuals in this country. And they are, of course, the religion industry, evangelo-fascists. And like Preston mentioned in his call in the first hour, they had some 700 people who went down and protested outside the palatial offices of Focus on the Family, offices paid for and staffed with the money sent in by little old ladies on Social Security who've been conned by that evil child abuser, James Dobson. They are being put in their place. And you should be proud. I am. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News, the consumer advocate for the State Public Service Commission, says there is good news and bad news when it comes to natural gas rates. Billy Jack Gregg says natural gas rates will stay high this fall, but he says there is no anticipated sharp jump in prices over last year. The problem is that rates still have gone up by 50%, and gas bills are taking a much bigger bite from people's household budgets every month than they used to. Greg says that 50% increases in natural gas rates have occurred in the last 2 years. New rates for this winter will be worked out in August and September, and Greg says even without indications of a sharp increase, it pays to be prepared. The chief investigator for the Secretary of State's election fraud unit has been fired just less than a month after he was hired. Secretary of State Betty Ireland fired John Canterbury last week. Ireland spokesman Ben Beeks declined to say why Canterbury was dismissed. Funeral services for a former West Virginia resident killed by snipers in Iraq will be held Saturday in Shreveport, Louisiana. Specialist Bernard Simley of Bossier City, Louisiana, was killed this past Thursday a week ago in Baghdad, along with Sergeant Robin Fell of Shreveport. The two were with the Army National Guard Shreveport-based 1st Battalion, 156th Armored Regiment, 256th Brigade Combat Team. Huntington police believe several people from Detroit are somehow involved in the weekend shooting deaths of four teenagers. The shootings occurred Sunday morning outside the apartment of 19-year-old Dante Ward, who investigators think may have been the target. They think the other victims, 18-year-old Edric Clark, 17-year-old Michael Dillon, and 16-year-old Megan Poston, may have been killed so they could not identify the shooter. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy and chilly with temperatures around 50. Tonight, partly cloudy. Chilly again with a low near 45. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy with temperatures in the low 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
The American cattle market has been a memorable market over the past couple of years, and today we have a forecast on cattle prices for the next few months. That's on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Ishii.
The yogurt you packed for lunch, the steak you have on the grill for dinner. Sometimes we forget that the foods we eat come from more than just the supermarkets. They come from America's farms. And at Farm Credit, we're taking a moment to recognize the men and women on the farms across America who are working hard to make our meals healthier and tastier. So the next time you sit down to dinner, remember America's farmers. This message brought to you by Farm Credit, rural America's financial partner.
People, health, and wonder.
A new report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture indicates Fed cattle prices should stay very high, at least for another couple of months. That's according to Ron Gustafson, a livestock analyst with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Gustafson gives us an overview of the latest cattle on feed report.
We still have a fair number of cattle on feed with cattle on feed numbers on May 1 and the lots with over 1,000 head of capacity up 3% from a year ago. Placements were up 4%. One number that's probably going to be a little bit of interest is the fact that marketings were down 5%, but essentially we had one less slaughter day in April of this year compared to last year, so adjusted, that's about unchanged from a year ago. Probably the most interesting thing in this report is that we continue to see a lot of heavy cattle placed on feed.
Ron Gustafson, livestock analyst with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and of course we'll keep you abreast of any big trends in the cattle market right here on the Farm Radio. And a quick look at Ag Calendar. I see that we've got the Northern West Virginia Quarter Horse Association show coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 27th through the 29th. That'll be at the Barber County Fairgrounds in Barber County, West Virginia. The West Virginia Quarter Horse Association show getting underway at 8 o'clock on Friday morning.
Hi everybody, this is Tim McGraw for RAD, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Now, I spend a lot of time on the road and I see some funny things out there, but one thing that's not so funny is someone is about to drive drunk. So take the keys and be a friend, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, the U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
And our pearl of wisdom today comes in from listener Don Cease, who says he learned this pearl of wisdom when he was in high school a few years ago. Don't worry if your marks are low and your rewards are few. Just remember the mighty oak was once a nut like you. Thanks to listener Don Cease for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and
I'm Ish.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is Healthy. Amateur tennis players who may aspire to be the next U.S. Open champion may end up with a form of tendonitis, commonly called tennis elbow. Tendonitis occurs when too much stress is placed on the tendon, a fibrous cord which attaches muscle to bone. Dr. Stanley Pillemer of the National Institute of Arthritis and Musculoskeletal and Skin Diseases says a number of things can cause this stress.
Things that might cause this are, for example, a sudden overload of the tendon when playing tennis, or it might be that you have to perform repetitive motion over a long period of time. An example of this is using a screwdriver in an occupation. Meat cutters also have a problem with this.
Tendonitis can usually be treated with rest, anti-inflammatory medication, and hot and cold compresses. For more information, visit health.nih.gov and search the phrase tennis elbow. I'm Phil Stevenson for HealthBeat.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Yes. So there's about 23 minutes, 21 minutes left in tonight's program. And, well, if you've got something on your mind, pick up the phone, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Just a couple of miscellaneous things from here and about. Did you notice that there's been a purge in the Republican Party in West Virginia? Hiram Lewis, the treasurer, was asked for his resignation yesterday, maybe day before. The new chairman said, don't need you. And in case you were wondering why, I can't blame Robin Capehart for doing what he did. The news story, maybe 2 weeks back, where Hiram Lewis sent some letter or communication charging someone with some sort of malfeasance in the Republican Party. No, really? Really? And he accused the person. Now, this guy is a lawyer, okay? This guy has made it through law school, passed the bar, practices law, ran for attorney general, no less. And he accused someone of embezzlement. And I think by the time he was done attempting to spell it, it came out something like imbecilement, imbecilement. So I saw the story and went, yeah, well, yeah, imbecilement, Hiram Lewis, gone. And just in case you were wondering, I mentioned this last night and didn't get to it, but on Monday at the press gaggle in the White House, you know, the one that Jimmy Jeff Ganny got, Gannon Guckert, Guckert Gannon, the manho slipped, the press gaggle that he slipped in and out of without so much as having to sign his name on the Secret Service logs. You know, got snuck in, got slipped into the White House, sort of the way Monica did. Well, exactly the way Monica did. And probably for similar reasons. Anyway, at the White House press gaggle on Monday, Slytherin Scott McClellan, isn't that one of these like fraternities or whatever in Harry Potter, Slytherin? Slytherin Scott McClellan got called on the carpet after Hamid Karzai, our man in Kabul, said, you know, the Newsweek story had nothing to do with the riots in my country. And they called him, the press, that Johnny on the spot White House press corps said, how about that, Scott? And, of course, in true Republican form, what did Slytherin Scott McClellan say? Well, I never said Newsweek's article caused anybody to die. Really? Turns out in transcripts that on May 16th, he said, people have lost their lives. Talking about the Newsweek story. On May 17th, he said, people did lose their lives. And then he said, people lost their lives. But he can stand there in front of reporters and say, I never said that. Here's the way the exchange went down. Question. One other question. Karzai was quite definite in saying that he didn't believe that the violence in Afghanistan was directly tied to the Newsweek article about Quran desecration. Yet, from this podium, you have made that link. So, McClellan, actually, I don't think you're actually characterizing what was said accurately. Question. By whom? Well, as I said last week, and as President Karzai said today, and as General Myers had said previously, the protest may well have been pre-staged. The discredited report was damaging. It was used to incite violence. But those who espouse an ideology of hatred and oppression and murder don't need an excuse to incite violence. But the reports from the region showed how this story was used to incite violence. Well, 'twas really when the slivy toad did gyre and gimble in the wave and all mimsy with the boar groves and the mome raps outgraved. So could it be said that the Newsweek article played a role, but was... John, I think we've made our views known when it comes to the discredited report. There are some that want to continue to defend what is a discredited report that has been disavowed by Newsweek, and that's their business. We're perfectly willing to trust the American people to make their own judgment about it. Who's doing that exactly? I'm sorry. Who wants to defend it? Well, you can see in the media coverage there are some that want to continue to do that. Got called and slithered and slithered. You ever tried to handle a wet snake? Slippery, as is Scotty McClellan. But you got, in case you were wondering why it was that he was slithering so earnestly, well, beyond the fact that Hamid Karzai said there was no there, turns out, oh, goodness me, turns out that nearly a dozen detainees at Guantanamo Bay told FBI interrogators that guards had mistreated copies of the Quran, including one who said in 2002 that guards flushed a Quran in the toilet. That's according to the FBI. Liberals! The American Civil Liberties Union. Liberals! Commies, the American Civil Liberties the summaries of FBI interviews obtained by the American Civil Liberties Union. This is from the Washington Post. Today. The summaries include allegations the Quran was kicked, thrown to the floor, and withheld as punishment, and that guards mocked Muslim prisoners during prayers. Lovely, isn't it? Aren't you proud? Let's all stand up and sing the national anthem. Nearly all of the hundreds of pages of documents consist of FBI summaries of detainee interrogations, and they underscore the widespread nature of the allegations related to the Quran and Islam among detainees at Guantanamo. Red Cross, 2002 and 2003. So maybe that's why little Scotty was trying to slither away from the lies that they had previously told. What would happen? What would happen in the White House press gaggle if just one day some bold and brave reporter stood up and said, Scotty, buddy, pal, you're lying. You're lying and you're caught. Now deal with it. Well, let's see. That would probably, well, there'd be a manufactured story about, a riot somewhere. And someone, you know, turning American-made machine guns on that rioting crowd, and therefore it was because somebody called Simple Slytherin Scotty a liar. You gotta love these guys. Stand up there and lie and get away. Now I missed the news this evening. Was this part of the early coverage? Scott McClellan caught in filthy lie. I'm guessing no. Mom, they're doing it again. To the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
No, Bob. No. There was coverage of Scott McClellan baptizing kittens.
With prejudice.
Exactly. And as far as slippery, Bob, that man, no pun intended, is bathed in KY jelly. He's about as slick as they come.
No, I don't. No, just don't take me there. Didn't want to.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, okay. I got a mental going image in my head. Yeah, I got a mental image in my head right now, David. That's going to take. Well, God knows what it'll take to make it go away.
I won't even tell you what it'll take.
They probably measure it in proof.
Anyway, let's go back just for a little bit, I want to, and I'm asking for clarification. I think I know, but I'm not sure. Much like St. Ed, and I say that with complete reverence, that man just, I would carry that man's water. I would mow that man's yard if he didn't feel like it, shovel his walk in the wintertime. Anyway, news magazine, they run the story and the roof falls in, or is caved in by the White House.
Right.
And wasn't it they had what they felt was a, as in singular, creditable source, and it wasn't that they really backed away from the story. Didn't their source go to them and say, I decided I didn't say that?
Precisely.
I'm sorry. Conspiracy theories abound, and right-wing nuts will say I'm doing it, but I view that as, I think the fix was in. Whether that person knew of that situation or not, I think there was something going on. I think CBS was fed a red herring. I think that goes on, but in the meantime, this time out, the Red Cross. I'm sorry, can't we trust the Red Cross?
Nope, they're commies.
Oh, I guess so, huh? And the FBI.
Commies.
OG Willikers.
Commies. I have in my hands the names of 52 persons who are communists within the FBI.
Calling, I see.
And calling Joe McCarthy.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yes. Your conference table is ready. Come to the Senate. In 1968, 69, somewhere along in there, I was an advanced military science student in the ROTC program at the University of Tennessee. And as part of military history, we were advised that at one point in time, the Turks, who were mostly Muslim, lost a particular battle because the rumor was spread that they were being given ammunition by their European allies that had been lubricated with pig fat. So they all threw their ammunition away and went the other way, and the opposing army won the battle. Use of religious belief has been part of military history, military strategy, military tactics for as long as there have been militaries and as long as there have been religions. There's no doubt in my mind that those interrogators did whatever they felt like with a Quran if they thought it would get them another stripe or another star or another adipersin. Win them another toaster in the career ladder that is the military these days.
But here's
what, hey, the chief wants confessions. Do what you got to do.
And some of them did it just because it's fun.
And some of them did it just because, unfortunately, there will be those within the military. Luckily, and I'm really serious about this, Bob, I know I deal in a lot of over-the-top hyperbole, but it's to our great eternal credit that right now the resistance to what's going on in Iraq is being shown by recruiting numbers that can't be met. It's being shown by guys that are, you know, three up and one down on their arm. No stars and bars, none of that.
Right.
We're talking about enlisted people that are going, this is a big mistake. If suddenly somehow our recruiting numbers start skyrocketing and there are 19-year-olds all over America saying, you know, I want to go over there and I want to kill a couple of rug pilots. We're in trouble than we are now, but we're not seeing that. Our 19-year-olds are beginning to realize this is an ugly, stupid military operation put in place by the ugliest people, and the bodies that are fueling this are part of an economic draft.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I mean, I had an email from our friend Stephen over in England talking about that very fact. And what else could you call it when you deliberately underfund schools and then you take children from those underfunded schools, undereducated children, and you tell them that their country needs them to go and kill a few Hajis. That's a poverty draft.
Of course it is. And no, you know, we talk about health care outstripping inflation, any other economic measure we want to look at. The college experience has inflated itself more than any other aspect of American life. I look back on what it took for me to pay my way through the University of Tennessee starting in the early 1960s, and I compare that to what was minimum wage. I compare it to all. The increase is sickening.
Yes.
Only the rich are going to be able to send kids. There are, I hear stories every single day on every sort of media outlet I can listen to. People are putting off pregnancy because they don't think they can save enough to go to a mid-level state-supported school in 20 years. That's insane.
Yeah.
And that, I'm convinced that this, we've got ours, you shouldn't have yours, mentality of most Republicans, they've never had enough, they'll never have enough, and anything they can do to cut off anyone else from having anything resembling theirs, people from having any kind of power.
It's an attitude, David, that was best characterized in a description of our own John Yosemite Sam Bolton. It stuck, I'm sorry.
Him.
I hate that majestic, noble graciousness. No, it was said of Bolton that he was a kiss-up, kick-down kind of guy. And that's what you're talking about with these people. You know, I've got mine, you ain't getting yours. Kiss up, kick down, stomp those fingers on the rungs below you.
That is precisely it. As I go by you, you can expect an elbow to the bridge of the nose.
And everything, and don't get the fingers too close to my rung or I'm a stomping.
Oh, well, with a smile on their face and
how many times,
in their voice.
How many times have we seen Yosemite Sam stomping poor Bugs' fingers as he dangled over the cliff?
Exactly.
Fall, you darn fool rabbit.
Oh, varmint, I got you now. I had to affirm your position on this veracity of the media and what a slime Mr. McClellan is. Gee whiz. And it's really frightening to me, not to be too apocryphal. Here we've got riots, literally riots in London as we speak, because the BBC wants to lay off several thousand reporters. That really frightens me. BBC and Reuters are two of the last functioning, honest-to-God reporting arms left on the face of the earth.
Yep.
That matter. And now then, what would you call Tony Blair? You know, here we would call him a dino, you know, a Democrat in name only. He's laboring.
Here's one. He's a limo.
Exactly. Well,
he's a labor in membership only.
There we have it. Now, he's talking about just gutting the BBC reporting corps. And one of the great sources of honest news reporting for all the world has been the BBC and, to a lesser degree, Reuters.
David, do you see a common, or do you, you know, let's get the tinfoil hats out and start up the black helicopters. Do you find it at all ironic that that PBS is under siege here? And now they're doing this to the BBC in London?
There's no irony, Bob. Irony involves some question. I heard Bill Moyers real time in a broadcast of a speech he made to a group of university students. He said, no longer is reporting to be what it was as I learned it at the University of Texas. They're asking, and soon they will demand, that PBS or public television, either one, NPR, especially NPR, will be mandated that they give 3 minutes for left-wing spin, 3 minutes for right-wing spin, and then stop the broadcast. No longer will NPR be allowed to look at the facts behind either side's spin. And that's as small a nutshell as I've ever heard it put in.
So Blair's government saw what was being done to PBS and thought, hey, neat, we can do that too, and maybe even easier. We own the BBC.
Oh, exactly. Suppose you suppose Rupert's got a little part of that one?
No, not sweet little Rupert.
Oh, you think?
I hate that majestic, noble graciousness.
Such a varmint.
Say your prayers.
Say your prayers. When I say war, I mean war.
Whoa, camel.
Oh, Bob. Oh, that Yosemite thing, that may stick.
It's got traction. It's got legs, David. We're out of here, man. Thanks for the call.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for letting me ramp for a while.
Always a pleasure. Okay, everybody, thanks. Thanks to Preston, our first-time caller. Thanks to Jack and Michelle and Ed and Jim and other Jim and Jose and Brian, who didn't wait. Shame on you. And sometimes we got to do commercials. You got to hang on. We'll get to you. At any rate, the show tonight was produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Carboy, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that your safety is their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Go on by and by all means take note of the fact that Ben is in the midst of a fundraising drive to keep White Rose Society online. It's important for us. It's important for you. Show him. Hey, Agnes.